just the Pathpoint class, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to just be able to get in your word freely. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us today as we just look at the Lord's Supper, Lord, and what you have to say about it, Lord, so we can just even now begin to prepare our hearts for what we'll be partaking of in a week. And so I pray that you would just speak, just put me out of the way, Lord. And I do pray for those in the class who are here and are in the ministry and just busy about your work, and even those who aren't here, Lord, we pray for Chris and Abby and Baby Zona and just all the newness of the family. And I pray that you would just continue to bless them. And Lord, I pray for just all of those that have things going on. We do pray for VBS this week. I know there's a lot of people in class here who are going to be involved in VBS. I pray that your word goes forth, that lives are changed, and that it's profitable for the kingdom. So I pray you just speak to us today in Christ's name. Okay, so if you got your Bibles, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And while you're doing that, Brady has a joke he wants to tell you from last night, and then we'll get rocking and rolling. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Come on, let's hear this.
What do you call a pile of kittens?
So, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I had to do that because for some reason that was like what had to be told at my house last night.
And so, what? No.
Anyway.
No.
Excuse me. And so, the Lord's Supper's next week. And so, you guys are seasoned. All of you guys, looking around the room, have been around for a while. We've all taken the Lord's Supper a lot of times, right? And so, we all know everybody in here has either been through discipleship or is in discipleship. And so, it's all there, right? But leading into it, I've never actually taken the time to kind of get into some of the problems that go into taking the Lord's Supper and things like that. You know, Brian, when he's gets up there on Sunday mornings, you know, usually by that time the preaching's went long and we're like, okay, let's get this done so we get out of here. I'm hungry, right? And so he spends a little bit of time talking about, you know, we're not supposed to take it unworthily and all those things. So I did want to just take a little bit of time and get into what Paul has to say and really what God has to say about this as a whole. And so we're just going to look at most, really all of this chapter if we have time and get into it. So I got 9 ways, because that's just what I pulled out. It has nothing to do with anything. 9 ways to prepare yourself for the Lord's Supper out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And basically, I just went through the chapter. And so there's some things in here that we're gonna touch on. And when I say touch, I mean it's going to be like a rock skipping across the water. We're not going to get into some of this stuff in depth. If you want to talk about it in depth some other time, we can. But I'm more interested in the Lord's Supper portion of this, because there are some things that might raise questions or ruffle feathers. Seems like anything that I teach seems to want to do that, but just the way it is. So anyway, let's just get into this. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you," this is Paul talking, "brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep ordinances as I delivered them unto you." So if you don't know, which you should know, but if you don't know, the book of 1 Corinthians is a strong rebuke that Paul wrote in a letter, which to me would be way worse. I would rather somebody just yell at me in my face than read it in a letter. it's a strong rebuke to the church at Corinth about how, because Paul went there, he got them all established, everything was good, he went on his way, and he's heard a whole lot of not so good things, right? And so this is a strong rebuke, and we're 11 chapters in at this point, so there's a lot going on, and so he's rebuking this church on a lot of different things. So that's kind of the backdrop of what's going on. And so he starts this chapter. He says, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So your first way to prepare yourself for the Lord's Supper is be an example. right? And because I'm just pulling things out of the chapter. Be an example. And you're like, well, how does that prepare me for the Lord's Supper? If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're leading other people to do what they're supposed to be doing, then you're going to be on the right track to being right with God. Right? And that's the whole point of the Lord's Supper in the first place, is to make sure that we as a body are right and moving forward. It's like a checkup, you know. They say you're supposed to go to the doctor every now and then and get a checkup. I don't do that, but you're supposed to get a checkup to make sure things are working correctly, right? And so that's what you're supposed to do. He says, now I praise you. So he actually does have something good to say about them. He says, I praise you, brethren, that you keep me, you remember me in all things. Because they're always talking about, yeah, you remember how Paul told us to do this? Or, yeah, you remember how, you know, they said we're supposed to do this? So he's like, I'm glad that you remember that I was there. But there's some things we need to talk about, right? And so you have to be an example. Moving on, because I want to get into the better part of this. So, verse 3 says that I would have you know. I like the way he talks to these guys because he's pretty strong. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Well, where did that come from? Well, obviously there's an issue here. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Now, I'm going to read through this, and I'm going to give you a quick description of what in the world is going on. So, just follow along. Verse 5, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even as she is if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not cover his head, for so much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power over her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man. And the Lord, how far am I going? I'm already one verse too far. Okay, so stop right there. What in the world does this have to do with the Lord's Supper, right? Well, it's in the same chapter, and I'm going through this. So I'm going to give you... So here's your second thing. Here's your second thing to prepare you for the Lord's Supper. Be sure to be following God's structure. Be sure to be following God's structure. And okay, so I'm going to skip over this, and if you want to talk more in depth about it, if we have time at the end, we can. If not, we'll get together sometime and we'll talk about it. But here's what's going on. Here's why Paul is talking about it as the rock skips over the water here. He's talking about how... So let's see. He says, but I would have you know that the head of the man is Christ. So he lays out the structure immediately. Obviously, there's a structure issue going on here. That's the issue. That's why he's talking about it. There's some sort of a structure issue. Verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoring his head. So you have to think about this culturally. This isn't something that like transfers to today's church, right? There are things culturally in the world, Lauren could probably tell you more about this than anybody, that you just do because that's what culture says that you do, right? I can't speak for you, but I know that when I went to India with Paige, she made sure to wear a long dress every day, right? It was just something she did. They didn't say she had to, but it was something that she did. And she even asked, do I need to cover, you know, not like cover all the way, you know, like this, but, you know, huh? I don't even know what that means, but anyway, do I need to wear like the veil over my head? She didn't want to offend anybody, right? But there are, and we're talking about India here for a second, there's like an age where girls can no longer wear just normal pants and clothes. They have to now wear saris, correct?
When they're married.
When they're married? Okay. Yeah, and so there's cultural things. That's what's going on here. There's a cultural thing going on. And so what he's talking about when he says every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, just on the roof of his head. For some reason in the culture, and so I read this commentary, right, because I wanted to know exactly what was going on here. So in the culture, it was men were covering their heads to do teaching. And that is dishonoring to God because it's honoring to God for a man to stand up and preach the word, to share the word, to do that. So that's what's going on. He's like, that's not right. You're dishonoring God by what you're doing. Stop as a man covering yourself up. Verse 5, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonor. So he's saying, just as it is dishonorable for a man to do it with his head uncovered. It is dishonorable for a woman to do it with her head uncovered in the culture that they were in. Now, I'm not saying that in the church today, a woman can't get up or come to church with her head uncovered. That's not what I'm saying. But in the culture of what they were doing, that was an issue. There was a structure, there was a... things were out of order kind of issue going on. And that's what he is addressing here. So something is happening, and he's like, that's not okay. He goes on to say about the woman that she that does that with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that she is even the one that was shaven. So, like, at that time, a woman who shaved her head was either a prostitute or... there's another word for it. That level of not okay, right? And so what they're saying is a woman who's getting out, Paul is comparing her getting up, teaching in front of everybody with her head uncovered, she just, well, shave her head off. Because that's what people are looking at you like. There's that much dishonor in what you're doing. Right? And so that's what's going on here. Moving on. For verse 6, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. Same thing. She might as well just shave her head. If she's not going to cover herself, she might as well shave her head, because there's that much dishonor being brought to what's going on culturally at that time. Don't get me wrong. So, for a man indeed ought not cover his head. So, the guy's not supposed to. And then he goes into why. Because he is in the image of God, and the woman is created in the image of man. So, I do want to say this before I move on past this, right? Because this was a good analogy that I've heard recently. Just the same way that God the Son is no less than God the Father, right? He still submitted himself completely to God when he came to earth. Did he not? He submitted himself to everything that God wanted him to do, right? That's the same thing that God is asking for a woman to do. She is no less than a man. But in the structure that is given in the Bible, the same way that Christ was able to submit himself under God the Father, she is supposed to submit herself under her husband, right? That is how that works. So I don't think there's a lot of issues there, but that was just an analogy I heard that I thought was fairly decent. So moving on. So you have to be sure to follow God's structure. How does that have anything to do with the Lord's Supper? If your family's all out of whack, the Lord's Supper is going to be all out of whack, right? And we'll get into how that matters in a minute. But there's a structure you're supposed to follow. And I think you guys get that, but I'm just going through it. Verse 11. Nevertheless, neither the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even as the man is also of the woman, but all things of God. We're all supposed to point to him. Judging yourselves that it is comely for a woman to pray unto God uncovered. He's asking. Well, obviously, no. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, is a glory to her. For her hair is given for her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So here's your third one. Be sure to have your marriage in order. Now, we're talking about the Lord's Supper, right? Be sure to have your marriage in order. You can be just great, fine, and dandy with all your brothers in Christ, with the pastors, with everything else that's going on. If you don't have things worked out with your spouse, if you don't have things worked out at home, you ought not be taking the Lord's Supper. And that's just the way that it is, right? You shouldn't do that. Things have to be right. We'll get into that in the next point, but the Lord's Supper is there as a checkup, right? As a, I know you're busy, hold on, let's evaluate things for a second, right? That's what the Lord's Supper is for. And so, what he's talking about is, the man's not any greater than the woman. The woman's not any greater than the man. God created you as one. Now let's move forward. That's what he's getting at. He's like, let's move past what's going on here. He says, what does he say? He talks about how if a man's got long hair, then, you know, he's a hippie. And, well, maybe that's not what he says. But, you know, if a man's got long hair, he probably ought not to. But the woman with long hair, it says, what does it say? It's her crown. So he's basically pointing out, once again, that if you didn't know this from the entire Bible in your entire life up to this point, God created the man and the woman different. If you didn't know that already, I'm sorry to, like, you know, spoiler alert. God created you different, right? a man is, what's the man's main hormone, right? Testosterone, right? And a natural side effect of testosterone is losing your hair. That's part of what happens. Part of extra testosterone means the loss of hair. That's just one of the side effects that comes with it, huh?
Wait, you're talking about in men, extra testosterone possibly?
Yes. Later in life.
Because I actually have like over 1,000 instances of testosterone.
Just kidding.
Well, and you're only like 20 though.
Sorry.
25. I don't know. Anyway.
Long term side effects.
The woman, her main hormone is what?
Estrogen.
One of the main side effects of estrogen is it grows your hair long. That's just a natural side effect. God created you different. That's what he's pointing out here. He's simply pointing out that, in case you didn't know, you're different. And that's all right. He's not any better than you. She's not any better than you. We've got a structure. Things work out great if you follow the structure. That's all Paul's trying to point out. Because guess what? If you don't have this part of it right, the rest of the chapter, the rest of really life, isn't going to work very well. It just isn't. Because if you can't get along at home, you're never going to get along outside of the home. It just doesn't work that way. Right? If things with Paige and I aren't right, which, I mean, this never happens, right? Because, I mean, if, like, I did anything wrong, right? No, I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. If things are not right with us, things aren't right anywhere else I go. And it's not because, you know, I'm just mad at the world because, you know, Paige is mad. No, it's just because I simply cannot function. I mean, I can go through the motions of life. I cannot function correctly knowing that there's issues, right? And that's how I think God designed it. You know, there is supposed to be unity. There's supposed to be that way. I think it's the same way with her. If you asked her, she'd probably tell you that. Maybe not, I don't know. But you have to talk to her about that. Anyway, so that's how it is. So be sure to have your marriage in order. I'm talking about the Lord's Supper here. Now, okay, we're going to get more into Lord's Supper talk here in a second. Okay, moving on. Verse 17. Now in this I declare unto you, so we just got on talking about all of that. Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not. Remember, this is a letter he wrote to them. He's like, I wrote all this unto you, and I'm not happy about it, is what he's getting at. I'm just paraphrasing, right? That ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. Here's your next thing. Number 4, be sure you understand the Lord's Supper. Now, I'm not teaching you guys anything you don't already know, but be sure you understand why we do what we do. He's like, I declare this unto you, and I'm not happy about it. I praise you not for it, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. He's basically saying, yeah, you guys you're doing the Lord's Supper, right? The air quote, you're doing the Lord's Supper thing, but you're totally missing the boat, right? So, just real quick, this is why we do the Lord's Supper. It is like a speed bump in the road. It's a checkup along the way, right? Life is busy. Life is fast. It says do it as oft as you do it. We at Heartland do it quarterly. And it basically is a time for you to, in case you were too busy to do it daily like you're supposed to, you know, Paul says I die daily, to stop and evaluate your spouse's life and make sure they're living according to God. No, that's not what it says, right? Is to just stop for a second, slow down. It's Lord's Supper week, right? Take some time this week, slow down, and evaluate your life, not theirs, not theirs, not theirs, and say, okay, God, is there anything that is keeping me from you, right? Am I good with you? Because if I'm not good with you, then nothing else is going to be good. And see, if everybody in the body did that, if everybody in the body, the week of the Lord's Supper, stopped and said, okay, hang on a minute. I know I'm busy. Got things going on. Am I good with you? I'm going to guess in a church this size, I'm going to guess in a class this size, somebody's going to say, things aren't quite in order. Okay. Right? We'll cast you out after the third time, but not the first time. No. Okay. Let's address it. If everybody took the time when we did the Lord's Supper to do that, and it's like a checkup, and you know, maybe there's one, maybe there's five, maybe there's ten, they're like, ooh, I need to get some things in order. It's a way for us as a body to say, okay, now there's an issue. Okay, maybe I need to talk to my brother. Maybe I need to talk to my wife. Maybe I need to talk to whoever. Okay, now we're good. You know, there's no bitterness. There's no strife. Now we can keep going forward. It's like a checkup on the road that keeps the little things from becoming another little thing and another little thing. And the next thing you know, five small fires turns into all the conveyors upside down in the lake. I'm telling you. It turns into a lot of little things can turn into massive problems. That's the point of the Lord's Supper. It's not to come in and get fat on food, right? And we'll get into that in a second. But it's just it's a chance to stop, slow down, and evaluate you and make sure that you're good. And if you're good with God, praise the Lord. Pray for the rest of the church that they are too. And if you're not, take some time, get with God, identify it, confess it, you know, repent from it and forsake it, right? I don't know what we were talking about the other night, but it was something along those lines. Anyway, making sure I got all the words in. But that's what the Lord's Supper is about. It has nothing to... Paul's like, remember all that stuff I just told you? I'm not happy about it. Because you guys got everything all screwed up. You know, he's teaching with his head covered. She's not... nothing's in order like it's supposed to be. And now you guys are like, oh, it's time for the Lord's Supper. Yay! I'm hungry. And he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Things are not right here. You need to understand why we do it. Right? And I'm not teaching you guys anything you don't know. But it's basically a time for you to slow down just for a second and just make sure that everything in your life is correct. Because if everything in your life is correct, then you're clean with God. But if everybody in the church did that, well, obviously we're going to be good for the next quarter. And then we'll take another time to step back. Now, bigger picture, just to kind of give you a bigger picture of what's going on. Like the pastoral team. Now, obviously, sometimes there are bigger issues than just, you know, small marital problem. Like there's an open sin issue, okay? We use the Lord's Supper as like landmarks. You know, so say there's a large sin issue, like open sin, rebellious, you know, woman leaves her husband and is sleeping with, you know, some other guy, and she's just totally cool with it. You know, okay, well, that's not okay. So generally, you know, Brian would sit down with her. Hey, this is probably not all right. She's like, yeah, okay, I'll see about doing something about it. You know, we use these as landmarks. Okay, so obviously you're not okay to take the Lord's Supper with us this week. You know, generally these are landmarks. We make sure that we address the bigger rebellious type of issues. And then, so okay, you can't do this. He generally, and this is, you know, just for your knowledge, I guess, if you wanted to know how we do things at Heartland, we'll give them the next 3 months to get it right. You know, he'll say, you know what, you need to make this right. And he'll circle back around, you know, obviously checking on it fairly often to make sure that, you know, God's name's not being blasphemed. But he'll come back around and, you know, is this situation taken care of? If, you know, 3 months has went by, a lot of times Brian may even extend grace for the next Lord's Supper. But at some point, that is when church discipline. Right? And so the Lord's Supper is also a time for the pastoral team to address things biblically in that sense, right? We don't just, yo, hey, you're doing something wrong. We're going to get up in front of the body and say, you know, hey, that's another reason why we come all together at 9 o'clock to do on the Lord's Supper day. It's a time for, if anything needed to be out there, like, hey, this person's an open sin. You know, it's a church discipline issue. You know, obviously you don't want to be in communion with them. Okay. It's a time for this. So the Lord's Supper is there for multiple reasons. It is it's a speed bump. It's a checkup in your life, right? Just because you don't go to the doctor don't mean you can skip this, though. Okay, moving on. Makes sense? I think you guys all know what's going on, but that's what's going on. He's not cool with it. Verse 18. He says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. He's like, so, okay, I don't even know where to start with it. Okay, first of all, you know, I have a little bird that was down there. He flew all the way over here to where I'm at, and he told me that there's a bunch of divisions in the church. And it's really not that hard for me to believe, right? Yeah, there's certain people that you can hear something about, and you're like, man, I have a hard time believing that. That's not like their character at all. And there's other people you hear something about, and it's like, that doesn't surprise me in the least bit, right? That's par for the course. You know? And that's what he's saying. That's not really hard for me to believe. Here's your next thing. Verse number 5. Be without division. You want to prepare yourself for the Lord's Supper? Be without division. Well, what do you mean? Yes, that's what I mean. Yes. Well, you're talking about with my... Yes, that person. Yeah, don't be divided with him. You're talking about with my My wife, yeah. My husband, yeah. My kids, yeah. My brother in Christ, yeah. That person, yeah. Yes is the answer. Be without division. He's like, I hear that there's divisions among you, and I partly believe it. You know, and I kind of like his wording, because he's just like, yeah, that sounds about right with you guys. You know, that's harsh. That's harsh. Moving on. Be without division. Verse 19. For there must be also heresies among you, for they that which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you came together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? I praise you not. And so this is Paul's way. So here's what's going on here. Because I honestly didn't... I'm like, I read that, but here's what's going on here. They were doing the Lord's Supper a little bit different than we do, right? They weren't like the little crackers like we have. Like, they were turning the Lord's Supper, what we call the Lord's Supper, into a gluttonous, drunken feast. That's exactly what they were doing. People would bring in, and it was a way to show off their wealth, you know, because, I've got more than you do, so I'm going to bring these massive amounts of this, that, and the other, and I'm going to show off that I have it, but I'm not going to share it with anybody. And it had turned into a who's who of who can do what, and it was a mess. And that's what he's getting. He's like, there's got to be some sort of heresy. That's exactly what he calls it. He says, there's got to be some sort of heresy among you, because that is not how I established this thing. And it hasn't been that long. But that they had turned it into some drunken, you know, feast. And that is not, obviously, that's not what we're getting at. Here's your next thing. Be aware of the heresies about the Lord's Supper. Now, obviously, we're talking about what's going on in this one.
Huh? Repeat what you said, sorry.
Oh, I'm like, I thought you were saying move my mic up. I'm like, how are you listening to it already? Be aware of the heresies about the Lord's Supper. I'm like, dang, Mitchell's like on it. What'd you say? Obviously, the heresies he's talking about are, you guys have twisted this doctrine. You've twisted what I've asked you to do, what the point of this thing all is, into a show off of yourself. Wow. It's almost like what people do today. They always find a way to make it about themselves, right? And so today, obviously, you're not going to be able to come in and, I got the biggest cracker. See this? I got it. No, that's... My cup's fuller than yours. So, but in today, you know, we talk about the heresies about the Lord's Supper. Obviously, you look around from our church to the next church to the next church, you know, and make sure we understand why we're doing it. You know, it's not about what we're eating or what we're drinking. You know, it's obviously the unleavened bread. It's a picture of Christ's body. You know, it's all a picture. And obviously is unfermented juice, right? We're not taking other strong wine. You know, so be aware of the heresies that go along with it. Understand why you're doing what you're doing. And Brian does a really good job when we have the Lord's Supper of talking about those things. Right? And so make sure that you understand, you know, it has nothing to do with anything other than this is a picture and we're following through with the picture. You know, I think we get the picture part really well. I think what we struggle with sometimes is making sure we do our personal checkup, right? It comes so quick and it's like, oh, it's Lord's Supper Day. You know, yeah, I remember Jason and Saya when we were going to have Fast Point for the last few weeks. We haven't had any time to stop and evaluate ourselves. And then it's like, well, yeah, I think I'm good, you know. So we miss that point of it, I think. I miss that point of it at times, right? I get so busy that it's like, yeah, I know the Lord's Supper's coming. I understand the picture, what it means, all that. I sometimes miss the important part, right? I can eat crackers and drink juice all the time, you know? I miss the important part. And so that's why I was like, you know, I think it's important that we maybe hit this week. That way we, as a class, have no excuse not to do some self-evaluation. So anyway, be aware of the heresies that come with the Lord's Supper. Verse 23. So you guys, this is the part you guys hear all the time, so I'm going to move quickly. For I have received of the Lord that which I have also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. I've heard that. That sounds familiar. Right? After the same manner, he took the cup which he had supped, saying, this cup is in the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord till he come. It's a picture, right? That's what he's getting at. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Oh, wait a minute. Now I've heard that today. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. That's where we're at. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Meaning, you're supposed to examine yourself before you take the Lord's Supper. Here's your next thing. You want to prepare yourself for the Lord's Supper? Be focused on your life, not theirs. Be focused on your life, not theirs. Build your wall, if you were here a few weeks ago. Right? Be focused on your life. Be focused on your life. So, yeah. Don't. It's really easy to be like, man, my idiot stick husband, if he'd get it right, you know, we'd be okay. Yeah. At this point, be focused on you. Right? Well, my brother in Christ, he just ain't got nothing figured out. If he would just get something figured out, then this is a time, right? There's a lot of times like this, but this is definitely a time when you need to focus on you. And they need to focus on them. Right? And if there's things, I've never seen it, but man, I think it would be good for somebody to see. Lord's Supper comes around. People obviously are busy. Brian gets up and he says, hey, if there's some things that need to be taken care of, we need to take care of them. I would love to see a few men stand up and say, I need to take care of something before he takes the Lord's Supper. But instead, our pride gets so much in the way that we're like, oh, I'll talk to the guy later. No, take care of things. Make sure you're right with your brother. Make sure you're right with your spouse or with whoever it is. Because if you're not, what does it say? There's consequences. We're getting ready to get into that. There are consequences. This is God's natural way of making sure things are taken care of. If you're going to keep mocking God, he's not going to have it, just in case you're wondering. He's not okay with it. Yes, ma'am?
So it's just better to skip taking it if you're not going to deal with it.
Absolutely. If you are going to be so prideful or so caught up, or maybe you're willing to deal with it, but the other person's not, and you know that there's an issue, it would be much better for you, according to what it says next, just to abstain this time around. Now, it's not wise to abstain time and time again, but if there's an issue that's like, I know there's a resolution maybe coming, but it's not good right now, it's better for you to just pass it right on along. It's much better for you to abstain once than to take unworthily. And we'll get into that. Huh? That's good.
It's better to avoid than to be annoyed.
That's right. Okay. So yeah, be focused on your life, not theirs. Verse 29. We're going to get done. For he that said, and this is why, Candace, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, meaning you shouldn't have, you knew you shouldn't have, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. I don't know exactly what that means, but it doesn't sound pleasant. Right? Not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, because of this, this is what he's saying, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He's saying, in your church, Corinth, there's a lot of people that are sick, and you guys don't know what's going on, or something, they just got these illnesses, or it's because y'all are taking the Lord's Supper, and you're not doing it right. I would say they're probably taking it much more often than quarterly at this point, because if it's a who's who about who's got what, I want to show off what I got every week, right? But, for whatever. But, yeah, he's saying there's a reason that there's, and he says some even sleep, meaning some have died because they were so caught up in showing God up. Not a good idea. Just try to show God up. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That's a good verse. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. And that's God's way of saying, I'm giving you a little bit of chastisement so you don't just get lumped up with the rest of the lost world. I would rather be chastised by God than be lost with the rest of the world. Right? Number 8. Be aware of the consequences of choosing disobedience. Because honestly, that's what you're doing. If you're taking the Lord's Supper and you know that there's an issue and you're like, yeah, whatever, it's a cracker. Yeah, whatever, it's grape juice. You're right, it is. But the picture is a whole lot more than that. It's a whole lot more than that. And if you're just cool taking it, basically it's your way of spitting in the face of God and saying, I don't care. I don't really care what your picture says. Oh, okay. Well, you know, God, he left a lot of things that we should try to, you know, live by in life. He left 2 ordinances. So I'm guessing that these are fairly important, right? I'm going to make sure that I do these correctly, right? And I'm not going to, I'll be the first one to tell you, I haven't got this right for my entire Christian life. I've got it right at some point, right? Something. But I've been in the wrong at times. You know, praise God for his grace, but there's 2 ordinances. I want to make sure I get those right, you know? All right, and then wrapping up the chapter, verse 33 and 34. And this is something that kind of got me in my heart, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Meaning, wait. So obviously, they were just getting right after it. You know, if you're late to the party, you're late to the party. Tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So basically, he says, make sure everybody's there before you get started. And you know, and he also says, eat at home. This isn't a feast. This is a, we're coming together for a picture here. We're coming together to do something. It has nothing to do with, you know, getting together for a potluck, right? There's time for potluck. This is not it. You know, and that's what he's getting at. So here's your last one. Be physically ready to take the Lord's Supper. Or be physically ready to take the Lord's table. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. Now, and this could be completely out there, but you know, sometimes when you're reading this, it's like, huh, I kind of feel like God is saying something to me there. You know, be physically ready. So, as I'm reading this, obviously I know what it means, right? He's for what was going on in the context, they were just getting right after it, and, you know, they weren't sharing, and they turned this thing to a mess, right? And so he's like, eat at home, take care of those things, right? But here's what God was showing me, and so I'll just kind of give you an example, and we'll be done. Be physically ready to take the Lord's table. A lot of times, we've been saved for what, 12 years? 11 years, 12 years, somewhere in there? Yeah, so anyway, there's been a lot of Lord's Supper since we've been at Heartland, right? Praise the Lord. A lot of those we've spent in the children's ministry, right? You know, and it's just that I can remember countless sitting in the nursery, right? And praise the Lord that, you know, some of you might not know this, so they serve the stuff in the sanctuary. They also bring it around to the teachers, right? And so it's a little less, I'm not going to say holy, but it's a little less, I don't even know the word I'm looking for.
A little more.
Yeah, and so anyway, it's not quite as, you know, shirt and tie, you know, there's not, yeah, it's just like, no, this is my juice. And then it's just like, would somebody just pray so we can take this thing, right? So, yeah. But so anyway, like I referenced before, we take the Lord's Supper at the end, right? Generally after a little bit long preaching. And so, if you've ever been in the children's ministry, sometimes there's days and it's just like, man, are we ever going to get out of here? Right? It's just like, I am hungry. I didn't eat breakfast this morning. And it's like, I am ready to go. And then it's like, oh. And then they bring the Lord's Supper by. It's like, I forgot we were doing this today. That's another 15 minutes. I'm going to be in here forever. Right? I was just reading this morning and I'm like, huh. That was God's way of smiting me. And he was just like, maybe if you had been prepared for the Lord's Supper, you would have been physically ready for this. You would have went ahead and ate breakfast before you came. Right? And maybe you would understand what the picture is that's going on in the sanctuary right now, and you'd suffer your flesh just a little bit for that extra 10 or 15 minutes. And I'm like, I can remember a lot of times in the nursery thinking, good gosh, would you please come get your screaming child? I'm ready to go. Right? And it's like, oh, there's the Lord's Supper on top of it. Be physically ready. Right? And so I'm not just talking about, that's just a personal example because I've felt that way several times. Right? And so whatever it means for you, be physically ready because it's coming, guys. A week from today, I'm going to do my best to not go long, and we'll take the Lord's Supper, but it's coming. So take this week, take some time to avoid the pothole, the speed bump, the checkup, and just say, hey, God, is there anything? Right? I was just reading this morning in our daily reading, if you're caught up, right, in Psalms. I'll leave you with this because I've got like 30 seconds left if I can find it before we get there. In Psalms 139. Verse 23, here's your homework for the week. And it came out of 2 days reading. Search me, O God. Psalms 139, verse 28. Or, I'm sorry. Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. There is no verse 28. She says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked thing in me, or wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of the everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting. Pray that to God this week. Maybe you think things are good. Ask God to search you. Make sure you're clean. Because guess what? If everybody in Past Point did that, and they knew that they were good, if everybody at Heartland did that, they knew that they were good, then guess what? The next quarter is going to be great around here. But if everybody's just harboring this, and if we're just playing church, and you know it's a cracker and juice, then you know what? God's going to talk to us the same way that Paul talked to the church at Corinth. And he's saying, you're making a mockery of this, and I'm not okay with it. Right? There's some seriousness to this. And I bring it up because it's important. And because even in my own life, you know, we need to make sure we take it serious. Right? There's a lot of things going on. Praise the Lord. Make sure we take the main thing. Right? All right. Any questions? Ladies, don't shave your heads.
We get to go. I was forgiven. Branch off. He is forgiven. Thank you, Lord. And he, funny, he was such a problem. Like, we'd even have discussions. He'd stand up and start yelling at me. And then he'd like, oh, I'm sorry. He's so worked up and getting mad. You know?
It's a ritual.
And they don't know why they do it. Because obviously he's not playing down there because he's got problems with it. Mm-hmm. Say, oh, yeah. But, yeah. People still do it.
And then the church had like the cover.
I don't know. I've never seen this church. I think it's Church of Christ. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But,
yeah. You
know, people are still.
For sure. I think there's times even here if we don't keep our hearts right, we're the same way. So, all right, let's pray and we'll get out of here, guys. Father God, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for the Past Point class, Lord. I do thank you for the ordinance of the Lord's Supper that you left with us, Lord, and just the opportunity that we have to stop our busy lives and just make sure that we are good with you, Lord. Because if we're good with you, then all of our other relationships are going to be a whole lot easier to keep in order. So, Lord, I pray that you would just give us grace this week, Lord, that you would search our hearts and that you would just reveal to us the things where we may be lacking, and so that we could repent from those things, just and lay them down at your feet, and come just clean before you next week as we just come to the Lord's table. I pray that you would just use this week, send us out as lights in a dark world. We do pray for VBS. It's going to be a busy week, Lord, but I pray that you get the glory from it, that you would just give the workers the patience to do the things that you've asked them to do, Lord. I pray you just give the kids that'll be here just a great time, and just give them the word, Lord, in a way that just makes it real to them. So I pray that you would just be glorified in all of those things. In Christ's name, amen. All right, guys.